We continue little by little through Mark, as you just heard, and we're now in the book of Samuel, the first of the two books of Samuel. The lesson here is very direct, isn't it? God, you told me to do X, but I got a much better plan. Well, we don't. I mean, that's the problem. And so to listen to the Lord and obey him and trust him is the way to be in union with him. And some of the obedience can be very difficult. Huh? You remember, and the word of the Lord came to Abram saying, take your son Isaac, whom you love, your only begotten, and take him and go with him to a mountain I will show you, and there sacrifice him to me. All God's promises were there in Isaac. I'll make you a great nation. I'll give you progeny. Well, you know, Sarah, your wife, will have a child in her old age. All of it is centered right there in Isaac. And the Lord said, now, I want you to sacrifice him. So Abraham did, or at least was going to, as you know the story. How does that apply to us? Just think of the times in the day when the Lord is moving us to do something. We know we're supposed to do this, and we do that. We know that. And so this text here is to say, you know, Lord, I really don't have a better idea than yours. I'm going to do what you tell me. And you say, well, I don't know. If you don't know, just go ask him. He'll tell you. First thing he's going to talk about is what? Reconciliation. That's the first thing. With himself, of course, and with everybody else. Now, some people have heard us years ago, and we can't go, but we can pray for them and make sure that our hearts are at peace with them. And that's obedience. Now, the gospel, I know we're busy this morning, but they want to know why Jesus' disciples don't fast. And he answers them. Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? Now, what kind of an answer is that to their accusation? He's making the claim that he is the bridegroom of Israel, and that these, his disciples, are rejoicing in that wedding right now. And they don't get it. But as you see the gentleness and the discretion of our Lord, he doesn't say, you jerks, I'm the Messiah, you know. He gives them a chance to get it and to take a step. It's the way he is with us as well, isn't it? How many times we know what he wants, but he hasn't insisted on it. So we do something else. That's wrong. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's a very famous line, huh? And as you know, in this conflict, in another gospel, our Lord also reduces that, you know, chesed is better than sacrifice. Hesed, mercy, love, fidelity is better. And if we do that, see, the Spirit can move us to the place where our sacrifices are beautiful. Still on my mind, you might remember last night, for those who were there, I mentioned that Cistercian nun who gave her life for the unity of the churches. That was a beautiful gift. And the Lord had asked it of her. And she did it. Now, she also wrote to the Pope that about this, what we have now, the Unity Octave was founded by Father Paul, who had been an Anglican, became a Catholic and a priest, and the founder of a double monastery, the men up at the hill and the women at the bottom, the Friars of the Atonement. And they're still around. And the if you look closely at that word atonement, what does it mean? At one meant. First with God, and then with each other. So let's pray for that. And of course today, let us pray for the Holy Spirit to come and use those who are there as instruments, and use those who are here as instruments to save many lives.